to you my wife, Robin. Robin, would you please stand? This is my favorite wife. And Robin and I have been serving together in ministry since 1981. And the Bible says, he who finds a good woman finds a good thing. I found a good thing. So I appreciate my wife so very much. Once again, congratulations to Leroy and Wanda. And to you as a church, wow, what a wonderful spirit there is here. This is a good place. You know, Peter said to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, after all the events that had transpired, he said, it is good that we were here. We say that every Sunday, don't we? It's good that we are here. Well, I want to turn to John's Gospel, the 15th chapter. Coincidentally, the title of my message, I had to retitle it because I just didn't think it was that spiritual, because the title of my message was The Day Little Bunny Foo Foo Got Saved. And I didn't understand why I was getting that strong impression, and I was scared and didn't go with it, but I think we could just go home now. I really do. That's a great story, great word, great application. And the moral of the story is, don't whack bunnies. It's not right. Well, it does kind of fit, and maybe we'll weave it in later. It has always been my habit to stand for the reading of God's Word. If you would entertain me with that, please, and stand together, thank you so very much. John's Gospel, the words of Jesus, found in verses 1 through 8 is the passage we'll focus on this morning. And Jesus said this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Would you say much fruit? For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. It will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Would you say that again? Much fruit. So you will be my disciples. And skipping down to verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Father, I pray this morning that your word will seep deep into our heart, into our lives. I pray that it will be fruitful. I pray that Jesus, by your word, will be transformed. We will grow in this teaching this morning. So let it be to your glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray. And Lord, if there's anyone here today who doesn't have a personal relationship with you, I pray that before we dismiss, such a one will find themselves coming to you. In Jesus' name we ask these things, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. I have been sharing a series of messages that has been on my heart for, well, several years now. And the title of the series is Healthy Church. I believe God wants us to be healthy. Okay. I do. I believe that with all my heart. He wants every church family, every church body to be a healthy body. Amen. Some are not. Some are on their way. Some are in decline. But God wants us all to be healthy. Now, there are three primary elements that I see for a healthy church. There's the healthy church family, the body of Christ, believers, church members, if you will. That is expressed very nicely in Acts chapter 2. There's not only the healthy body, but healthy leaders. God wants your pastor to be healthy. Can you say a good amen? And the leadership team that comes alongside of him, and they walk together in growing this church family. And then thirdly, it is more of an individual focus. Every believer should be healthy in their faith and in the expression of that faith. And that's where we're going to land this morning. We're going to talk about being healthy as individuals. I've been told we go to 1 o'clock, so we've got lots of time. We'll talk about the fruit of patience later.
That's not healthy.
That's not healthy. Well, it's like one person said, you can preach as long as you want, Pastor, but we're out of here at about 11:30, quarter to 12. So the story is told of a fella, he retired, and how many of you look forward to retirement? Maybe you're already there. And he had been looking forward, saving for, preparing for retirement, just like all of us, all of his life. He was prepared. Finally, he retires, and his wife has this to-do list that's like a half a mile long. And he just isn't getting to go fishing. He isn't getting to go golfing like he thought he would. And it was time for his physical. And he went to his doctor. And he and his doctor were good friends. They golfed together. So how are you doing? The doc asks. He takes his blood pressure and, you know, his temperature and those sorts of things. And he said, Doc, I'll tell you what. Retirement isn't what I thought it would be. He said, my wife's about ready. She's going to work me to death. And the doc, he scratched his chin a little bit, and he said, I think I can help you out. He said, really? He said, I'll tell you what. When we're done here, your wife's out in the waiting room. Send her in. I want to meet with her privately. I'm going to help you out. All right. He said, okay, I'm going to trust you on this. So at the end of the appointment, the fellow goes out, and he said, Doc wants to see you. She said, why does he want to see me? He wants to see you. I don't know. He didn't say. So she comes into the doctor's private office, and he said, sit down. And she sat down and said, Nancy, I'm sorry, but I've got some bad news for you. She said, what's the matter? Your husband's physical condition has deteriorated significantly in these past few months since I've last seen him. She said, oh, no. What does he need to do? He said, well, listen, fortunately, I believe it is mostly stress-related. And if you'd like to extend his health and his days, there's a few things you can do. Anything, Doc, he said. So you need to get all stress off of his plate. He needs to go golfing. This is therapeutic for him. She said, okay. He said, when he gets up in the morning, fix him the best breakfast you can think of. All right? Don't require too much of him. Not for 6 months or a year. He needs some time to decompress. His heart just can't take it. Okay. Physical affection, just accommodate his, just love on him. All right. If you do these things, I think that he's going to improve and you'll enjoy a long and happy retirement. All right. So the couple, they're driving home. Now, the guy doesn't know what the doc said, and she's mulling this over, and they're driving, not saying a word. And finally, he can't take it any longer. He said, what did the doctor say? And she took him by the hand and said, honey, you're going to die. I don't think that's where he thought it was going to go. Well, we want to talk about spiritual health. And really, the message that I have to share with you is being a fruitful believer, because I believe this with all my heart, folks, that if God has come into our lives, if Jesus has taken away our sins, and according to John 3:3, he's made us born again. How many of you are there? Come on, say a good amen. Amen. Yeah. If these things have happened, then something new has begun in our lives, a new birth, a new life, a new spiritual vibrancy and vitality. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. If we're going to be healthy as believers, there are some things that ought to emerge from our lives. Now, when we go to the store, what's one of the first places you come to after you get your buggy? Almost all stores are laid out. They must hire a psychologist, the produce department. You go through the produce department and you find fresh vegetables and fresh fruit. And there's a science to this. There's an art to this. And people tap it and squeeze it and look at it. And we want the best, don't we? That's what we want to talk about this morning. What fruit is growing from your life? A couple of years ago, it's been 2 years ago now, it was the end of the season, like right about now, and I was at Lowe's. I have a parking place at Lowe's. It's my parking place. They put a name tag on it for me. I love going to Lowe's. Amen. And Harbor Freight, but that's a different story. So we go to Lowe's. I go to Lowe's, and they're phasing out. They have some fruit trees left. And there's a peach tree, and a pear tree, and a plum tree, and I think they're calling my name. There's a reason for this. I have about an acre and a half, and toward the back of my property, I have a plan that when I get really old and I can't go hunting anymore, I want the deer to come to me so I can shoot them in my backyard and drag them to the garage. That's my plan, and fruit will help with that. So I plant these three trees, and they're twigs. They're just these little twigs sticking up out of the ground. But after 1 year of being in the ground, the next year, there's fruit growing all over them. I couldn't believe it. I'm shocked. I just didn't think it would happen. And the peach tree is almost like bent into a 90-degree. I have to get some 2x4s and prop up the branches, and I'm shocked. I'm pleased. I went to some people who are in the know, and I said, should I pick all the fruit off and get the weight off? No, let it go. It's fine. You know, and well, the deer took care of it for me. That's the plan. This year, I'm thinking it's got to be good, right? Wrong. Not a single, not one. On any of the three trees. This is not the plan. And so I'm not ready to cut the trees down yet. I'll give them another year. There's a parable in Luke chapter 13 about this. I give them another chance, give them another year, get some more advice. But ultimately, if they don't bear fruit, they're coming down. Because that's what we do when we plant with a purpose, is we desire and we design it so that there's some benefit. And this teaching of Jesus, it gives us four things that I want to emphasize this morning out of this passage of Scripture. The first is an expectation. Let's see if I can get this to work. There we go. Nope, that's wrong. Somehow, there, expectation. The expectations of God for believers are seen throughout this whole chapter. In verse 16, it is summarized. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. God expects something to emerge out of our lives since he has saved us. Can you say a good amen?
Amen.
I mean, we expect that when God saves us, he's going to write our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're going to go to heaven. Our sins are forgiven. Those are good things, right? But God also wants something to happen in and through us. You didn't choose me, he said. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. There is a connection between what we bear and what bears out in our prayer life, isn't there? I believe so. And so this idea of being fruitful in our living and in our life, it's not optional, it's essential. It's not a suggestion, it's a mandate. So next we see a process in verses 2 and 3. In verse 3, and I brought some visual aids with me, verse 3 talks about pruning. Every branch that produces fruit. Now, this is a good thing. If you are fruitful, God says, I'm going to tweak your life a little. How many of you are gardeners? And you know that you want to get rid of the branches that are taking energy but not going to produce a maximum volume of vegetables or fruit. Isn't that what we do? Pruning. And you know, God's making a promise in our lives that there sometimes, let's admit it, sometimes there are things that have to go. I remember when I was a young fellow, I heard a story about another young man, and this young fella had his dad, he was from Canada, and his dad was like a hockey fan. They had access to ice, and they went out on the pond and they practiced, and his dad wanted his son to be a goalie. That was their connection. Hockey equipment can be very, very expensive, but his dad always made sure he was outfitted appropriately so that he could compete as a child and then into junior and then senior high school, and he was on track to go to college to receive a scholarship. He played the position of goalie. But Jesus came into his life. And the plan changed. And this young fella felt a call to go into ministry. That was going to change trajectory for him. And instead of going to a secular university and playing hockey, he was now going to go to a Bible college and study the Bible and study ministry. And there's no opportunity for hockey there. Well, you take shots. but so this is going on in this young fella's life, and it disappointed his dad, but his dad was supportive, and so one day it was it was a missions convention at that college, and they were taking an offering for missionaries and Bible school students. They don't have a whole lot of money. And his fellow, it was a week-long missions convention, and he comes to chapel one day, and he's crying. And he has in his hands, back then, this is 30 years ago, he had a $300 goalie mitt. And they were receiving the missions offering that day. And this was the last connection. This was it. He put the goalie glove in the offering, to be sold as best they could, and the proceeds to be given to missions. And what was God doing? God was working in that young man's life. He was pruning away the last connection with a career in hockey, because God had another path, another trajectory. I don't know what God might prune from you. Sometimes it's a possession. Sometimes it's an attitude. But God is in the business of wanting good spiritual fruit to grow in our lives. Can you say amen? He wants good spiritual fruit to grow in our lives. And sometimes that means the removal of some things so that that fruit can grow. Now, Jesus said in verse 3 that the branches that bear fruit go through that. What happens to the branches that don't bear fruit? That sounds pretty serious to me. I don't know about you. I had a tree out back needed trimmed. I don't have a chainsaw. The branches weren't that big anyway. We removed the branches. What do you do with them? You throw them into a pile to be burned later. See, that sounds pretty serious. I have a feeling that God's pretty serious about this. Because this is Jesus teaching, and this is what he is saying, that branches that don't bear fruit are useless for that purpose, and therefore they are cut off, they are removed, they're thrown into a heap, and they're burned later. What are you saying? God's going to burn me? Well, what I'm saying is God is very intent on having followers who produce something. Can you say a good amen? So we've talked about God's expectations. We've talked about a process. And thirdly, I want to focus on the produce. I love that word because it's kind of like both a noun and a verb. And so we go to the produce department, and we know what that means. It's vegetables, and it's fresh stuff, and it's good, and it's healthy, and it's tasty, right? And it's something that is produced from trees and plants and gardens and orchards. And so God wants produce to be produced in those that are following him. So this year, we planted a garden. First garden that we've planted. Well, we've grown tomatoes, but it's the first real garden, I think, that we've ever grown, we've ever planted. And when we're shopping for plants, let me tell you what, green beans do not interest me. But stuff like watermelon and cantaloupe and strawberries, that's nature's candy. There's good candy elsewhere. That's in a different aisle. So I planted, and my wife and I had a little contest because I made a couple of raised beds, and I gave her one, and I took one. And we were planting, and I was cheating at night by fertilizing mine and not hers. That's all right. If she wants to fertilize her, nobody was telling her she couldn't. This is it. And I'm watching the watermelons grow, and I'm getting excited. I'm thinking this is going to work just swell. She can have her broccoli. I want melon. And it grew, and it grew, and I watered it, and I watered it, and I didn't water hers, because it's a contest. And typically, you don't help the person you're competing with. I watered hers, but I didn't fertilize it. So, this is it. This is it. Does this look small to you? It looks small to me. And there were about four of them, and this is where they stopped. And I thought, well, maybe they're dwarfs. Maybe this is the way it's supposed to be. So I cut it open, and I carved it out, and I gave her a piece, and I had a piece, and I said, how does it taste to you? She said, throw it in the garbage. There's something wrong. So after service, if you have counsel and advice for me, I'm open to it. I just want you to know. It sounds good, it feels good, but it doesn't taste good. What happened? For whatever reason, it didn't come to maturity. I want to say that again. It didn't come to maturity. Friends, God wants the fruit in our lives. The produce. He wants it to go somewhere. He wants it to come to maturity. And so what is this fruit then that we're talking about? Well, it's here. It's interesting that in these verses of Scripture, Jesus refers to the fruit in his own experience. And in John 15, 9, he talks about, my love I give to you. Wow, what is that? And then in 15:11, he refers to my joy. I want you to have my joy and that your joy will be full. In the previous chapter, and sometimes I wish the chapter and verse divisions did not exist. Because when John was writing this, he wasn't saying verse 14 and then write verse 15 and chapter 15. And sometimes it breaks down the continuity so that we lose the flow. And this was all one conversation. And so Jesus talked in just a few verses earlier in John 14, 27 about his peace. My peace I give you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, I'm giving to you. And so Paul expands on this list in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and it's the fruit of the Spirit. And I love this. I love this. This is my mantra. This is my life. This is where I want to hang out. This is what I want to focus on. Because if Jesus appointed me and said, I want you to bear fruit, Don, and I want you to bear much fruit, and here are three examples, love, joy, and peace, and Paul comes along and he expands on that list, and here we have it, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Read it with me. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Stories told about Benjamin Franklin. Read his biography, his biography. And Ben Franklin came up with a list of about a dozen virtues. And he made it his life ambition on a weekly basis to practice these virtues and become ever increasingly better at them. Some of his virtues were frugality, being frugal, industry, working hard. If you know anything about the life of Benjamin Franklin, he did these things. I believe that as a believer, this ought to be the focus of my attention. Amen. That I need to be so connected to Jesus that these fruit are growing out of my life on a regular, consistent, and ever-increasing basis. I believe that they work in marriages. Just imagine if we had couples in the church who said, we're going to make these nine fruit the focus of our lifelong attention in relationship to God and in relationship to one another. How does that flesh out? Well, husbands, let me ask you to ask your wife this question tonight on your way home from church. Are you ready for it? Honey, do you feel more loved because I am in your life than you would have otherwise? You know, the Bible tells us, husbands, love your wife as Christ, come on, loved the church. Honey, do you feel more loved this year than you did last year, or at least as much? How about it, wives, that you would ask your husband, honey, do you feel joy because of our relationship with each other? How about it? Isn't that the practical application? Isn't this the outgrowth of faith? Let me tell you a quick story. I was saved when I was 15 years old. Came to Christ, and there were some heroes in the church. We were part of a church that it was growing by leaps and bounds. It couldn't keep up with the growth and the building projects. And it was just wonderful. And there were some people that I watched as a 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old young person. And I'm watching these people, and they're the pillars of the church. I went away to college and studied for the ministry and came back 4 years later as an intern in that church. And several of those pillars in the church were no longer together. Went away for a couple of more years for some more education and some more experience in other communities. And I came back to the church years later as a staff member, as a youth pastor. And I watched it again. Several couples. Now listen, I'm not here to throw condemnation at you. I'm not here to make anybody feel bad. I want to challenge you in the name of the Lord. Bear fruit, good fruit, healthy fruit, mature fruit, fruit that grows, it goes somewhere, it brings satisfaction and health. Can you say a good amen? Amen. It's what God's calling us to. We have to ask ourselves, am I applying the principles of God's word in such a way that they have practical outcomes in my life, in my family, at my workplace? How about it? We talked about husbands loving their wives, wives contributing to your husband's sense of joy. And it works both ways. You know that, right? And how about your children? Do they experience peace in their home? Hello? Or is it more like a battlefield? Someone once said, I don't know what it's like for you, but when my dad comes home, all us kids run and hide in the closet and the dog runs under the bed. We need to work on fruit there, don't we? Love, joy, peace. Long-suffering is patience. Don't you just love patience? Pray for patience. You should pray for patience. You don't even have to pray for patience because it's coming at you. I'll tell you what, yesterday I was driving. That is God's university for patience. And there was a guy in front of me. He loved the brake. The way I knew that is he braked often and for long periods of time. And we came to an intersection, and there was a traffic light, and he was braking all the way to the green light. And it turned yellow, and he bolted through and left me with the red. I've got some fruit for you. I said, beep, beep, which is, God bless you. Yeah. Produce. Let me ask you a question, friend. Are you a healthy believer? If you're a healthy believer, these fruit will be emerging from the branches of your life. Now, Jesus said there's only one way this can be done. You have to abide in me. He said, without me, you can't do it. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? My dad used to have a saying. I loved my dad. He had a fuse that was this long. And I inherited a lot from my mom. But my dad always used to say when he'd run into a jerk, in traffic, he would just say it this way, if I had an old truck. We have to abide in Jesus. Otherwise, we're not going to do so well. And finally, let's talk about the outcome. So we're growing. We're bearing fruit. And Jesus says in verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you have big churches. By this my Father is glorified, that you have big bank accounts. No. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. And isn't it great? You can bear fruit individually and you can bear fruit corporately as a group. You can bear fruit whether you're well off or whether you're of humble means. But understand this, that the mark of a truly healthy believer is found in the produce that is growing in their life. And Jesus said, God the Father is glorified. Now, that there's two thoughts that come to my mind when I mull over that God is glorified. Number one, I believe that God is well pleased when we're bearing fruit for Him. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that God just sits on His throne in heaven and says, have you considered my servant? Like He did for Job. If you take a notice of that life, that's a life that's marked with love. That's a life that's marked with joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and self-control and all the others. God is pleased, and in His pleasure, Jesus says it twice, ask what you will. There is a confidence that comes to prayer when we know we're living right in the middle of God's will. We know what to ask for. We know when to ask for it. We accept the response. We get what we want because we want Him to be glorified. Amen? Ask what you will. God is well pleased. And secondly, God is glorified among people. I'm sure you know this. Our world has changed. It is not the same environment as when many of us were growing up. I never thought it would go so fast this way. There was a time in our culture where we could witness to people on the basis of the Bible. This is what the Bible says. And they would listen because they respected the Bible. It isn't like that anymore. I am convinced that in this generation, they are going to require fruit before they will hear your testimony. You can say Jesus saves until the cows come home. You can have all the Christian bumper stickers on your car and the posters and the t-shirts. You can have it all. But friends, if we don't show the fruit, we're not going to earn the right to be heard. That's this generation. And it's irrefutable when the fruit is growing in our lives. Listen, conversely, if we claim to be Jesus followers and all we do is bicker, come on. And fight, and gossip, and backbite? Is there love in any of that? And the world looks on and they think we're crazy. They think we're nuts. With some of the positions that we stand on for holiness and righteousness' sake, we're now fighting an uphill battle. But Jesus said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we could go up that hill. But friends, while we're going up, we have to do it with fruit. Are you growing? How's it going in your life? Is the Lord pruning some things from you? I was finishing up my PowerPoint this morning, and I was thinking, when was the last time God pruned something in my life? And then I had to go and get another cup of coffee. But it challenged me to say, okay, Lord, if there is something in me that is keeping me from growing better fruit, oh, this is a scary prayer. Because I'm telling you, God will meet you there. You better be ready and you better be sincere. You better count the cost. He's determined, He's designed it, He has destined it. He wants you and I to bear fruit. And if there's something in the way, we have to have a come to Jesus meeting. We have to ask Him, help me to be ready for when you take your pruning scissors and start trimming things out of my life, things that are unfruitful, things that take away from the fruit of the Spirit and replace them with worldliness, wrong desires, wrong expressions. God, if you would cut them out, sometimes he cuts out things, sometimes he cuts out attitudes, but he has the scissors. And he means for us to grow healthy, mature fruit. How's it going in your life, friend? Take your spiritual pulse. Are you growing in love? Are you growing in joy? Are you growing in peace? Uh-oh, here we go. Are you growing in patience? And you know patience is often an expression of love, too. How about goodness and kindness and gentleness and self-control? Well, let's talk to Jesus about it right now. Lord, we bow before you and we ask for your help. We can't do this on our own. There's not enough self-help books in the library. We need to abide in you, and you abide in us for this fruit to grow and mature. And I pray that you would help us, help husbands to be fruitful husbands, according to Galatians 5 and the example shown there. Help wives to be fruitful wives, mothers and fathers, and children as well, as they grow in a household of faith, that they would observe and embrace and also practice this gardening of the Spirit. Make us to be better tomorrow than we were today. Help us to grow. And Lord, sometimes we can't measure the growth day to day, but we can month or year to year. Help us to do better for your glory, for your name's sake. Lord, if there's anyone here today that they don't have a connection with Jesus, they've not given their life to Christ, and they don't know what that is, but they want something. Maybe they came to church today just to find something for their life. Would you speak to them and draw them to you at this time? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and I just want to give you this little invitation. If you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor Don, I don't know Jesus, but I want to. I'm not living for God, but I want to. I want to invite the Lord into my life today. I want this to be a turnaround kind of a Sunday for me. Would you pray with me? I'd be delighted to do just that. But I'd like to know who you are. And so if you're here today, we're not going to call you out. We're not going to embarrass you. But if you want to pray that prayer, I want to invite the Lord into my life. Today is a turnaround day for me. Would you slip your hand up and right back down again? We'll pray with you. Is there anyone? Is there anyone? And we'll assume that we're all in the family today, and would you stand with me? I'm going to ask Pastor to come and close out the service. You be seated. Pastor, you close it out as the Lord directs.
There's a reception right after the service in the fellowship hall for the bunkers, and why don't we practice what we preached this morning, bear some good fruit, say some nice things, and say them to our friends, the bunkers, and to one another. Let's practice the love of the Lord. Father, thank you so much. We have been well fed already this morning. We didn't start in the produce.